Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Taos of Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. I am wearing my Curio purple because I don't know, the Orioles are in last place and it's the end of May. It's not really football season, but it is crab cake season. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on Thursday of next week. On the 5th, we'll be Greenmount Station in Hampstead. I will have the Back to the Future scratch-offs. Did a big piece about a $2 million winner that almost threw his ticket away this week here in Maryland with my pal Seth Elkin. We're also going to be at Fadley's on the 13th of June, and we're putting the whole summer schedule together. We're going to be in a lot of places. Reader's Crab House up in Reisterstown. I think we'll be coming to the Y at some point before it's all over. So we're doing some stuff this summer. Hang in there with us. The Ravens aren't going to do much this summer. The Justin Tucker question session occurred on Wednesday. Our Luke Jones was on the scene in Owings Mills to see Lamar Jackson throw the football around, Malachi Starks learning all the new numbers. How was your time in Owings Mills where you're invited and I'm not?
It was fine. I mean, as the first week of OTAs go, it was, as far as the action on the field itself, attendance was great. Really, the only veteran that wasn't there that really didn't have a reason why, and keeping in mind it's voluntary, was basically Kyle Van Noy. I mean, everyone else, there was an explanation, a couple guys, sick or banged up, a couple younger players sick or banged up, but it was really well attended. And do I think that's meaningful in any way? No. Is it better than the alternative? Sure, absolutely. So that was good to see. I mean, Lamar Jackson was sharp for whatever that's worth on May the 28th. DeAndre Hopkins made some catches, so that was fun to see. I think the biggest takeaway for me as far as anything that happened on the field, Nestor, Odafe always big. Like he put on like 15 pounds of muscle big. His body type reminds me a little more of Terrell Suggs than kind of the skinny Odafe Oweh that we've come to be used to seeing over the last 3, 4 years. So, whatever that's worth in terms of play on the field, got a long way to go for that. But really the big headlines, as you mentioned, Mark Andrews spoke to the media, and John Harbaugh obviously spoke to the media and was asked about Justin Tucker. And I mean, talked about it being a complex decision that the entire Ravens brass was involved in. It's everything you would expect to hear. If you're not satisfied with how the Ravens handled it, you're not going to be satisfied hearing that. If you're ready to move on from it, it was good enough to hear that you're ready to move on from, that you're moving on from it.
I'm
And Justin
sure they're ready
Tucker's,
to move on from it.
no, but I mean, anyone, like fans, whoever.
Whatever it is, they haven't even acknowledged the it, right? The it is the 16 women in the room. The it is their power. The it is the misogyny. The it is the potential crimes. And they want to run away from all that. I'm sure they do.
Well, but they acknowledge it by the fact that Justin Tucker's no longer on the football team, right? I mean, ultimately, that's what it comes
Well, you're
down
making
to.
a great defense for them in that way, right? I mean,
No, but
like
I'm just,
that is
but
their
it's the
defense,
truth.
right?
It's the truth. I mean,
He never kicked another game after those allegations.
correct, correct. And if this had never happened, Justin Tucker may have had competition this summer. I think I certainly would have bought that, and we talked about that possibility going back to what, last October or November, but he
And
wouldn't have
they would
been.
have used a sixth-round pick on it.
I mean, either a sixth round pick or the rookie free agent you like the best, like Justin Tucker when he came in to compete with
Well, if
Billy
they were
Kupnik,
really
right?
upset with his
So,
kicking, and I'm sure they were, I mean, I'm sure concerned about his kicking, not upset,
sure, I think that,
concerned about his kicking, that a six-round draft pick would have been, Tyler Loop would have been appropriate competition for him and say, hey, we traded that Vetvik kid years ago for a pick. Like, if Tyler Loop's hitting 65 yarders and Justin Tucker's hitting 66 yarders. And, we still like Tucker because he's Tucker and he's our Hall of Famer. He's our GOAT. We're going to keep him. They cut six round draft into pick number 181 every year.
Well, but that's also why I've said to you that I wouldn't bet my mortgage at Tyler Loop's their kicker all year, right? Because it is only a 6th round pick, and they brought in John Hoyland, who, by the way, is wearing number 5 Kind of funny to see that. He also does not look like a rookie. He looks like he could be in his mid-30s. It just he has an older look to him, even though he's not old.
By the way, he was pick
But
186. I just want to show you the
well,
number
that,
right.
no, that well, that's Tyler Loop. I'm talking about the
Yeah.
other guy they brought in,
Right.
who John Hoyland. So, Tyler Loop's wearing number 33 as a kicker. So keep in mind the NFL a few years back.
Eddie.
Yeah,
Eddie.
yeah,
Eddie
yeah.
Dinosaurs. Maybe it's
Priest
Eddie Murphy.
Holmes or somebody, right? So, but I mean, it came down. I thought the most, I not revelatory, because I think we all figured what John Harbaugh was going to say, and to his credit, he did answer quite. He didn't just say, "Oh, Eric put out a statement 3.5 weeks ago. We're not saying anything." He did answer it, and he said, "Look, this is multi-layered. It's complicated, but in the end, it comes back to what you have to do to get ready for your team to play the first game." And I think if you step back and take a look at all the issues and all the ramifications, even if he didn't go into those specifically, you can understand that we've got to get our football team ready, and we've got to have a kicker ready to go. That to me was as close as you're going to get to the explanation for why months you leaned on the NFL's, the pending investigation as far as how you were going to take your cues. But then you get to a point where you do draft a kicker, and I think we all are expecting some semblance of discipline for Justin Tucker from the league, I think, right? I don't think he's going to, I don't think the league's just going to say there's nothing here. I'm guessing the Ravens at least got enough of a whiff of what the NFL has found, in addition to the reporting that the banner did that's out there for everyone to read
Yeah, that's
and
the kind of the
consume.
curious part. Where's this NFL investigate? You know,
Well,
what is
and
this
that's
going to
the thing,
drop?
but
He
that's
doesn't
where I
even
look.
play in the league, and he's not even on a team, right?
But
So,
that's where I look at this and say they must have heard something from the league to expect something, right? I mean, because then it does become strange that the league concludes and says, "There's nothing to see here. This is all conjecture. We couldn't prove anything. He's not suspended." Then it does look strange
it's
from the
been three
Ravens'
weeks ago
perspective.
since he's been cut now,
Yeah.
right? Like literally, it's been 3 weeks. And change at this
Yeah.
point. And the NFL hasn't said anything, so I don't.
So, yeah, as far as the timing, I mean, you thought maybe before, just like we were speculating whether he'd be cut the Friday before
How much
Memorial
time
Day.
is the NFL going to spend with $300,000 lawyers running around for a guy that's not even in the league?
I
You
don't
know what I
know.
mean? Like, that's.
Although I would say you'll find, and I check the NFL transaction wire on a daily basis, you'll find players suspended all the time for any number of reasons, whether you're talking about drug
PEDs,
tests,
sure,
other,
yeah.
you'll see that for guys that are free agents all the time. So that part of it looks strange just because this is a higher profile player, obviously, but that does happen a lot. And a lot of times it's guys that get a suspension that you've never even heard of that maybe didn't even play in the league
Well, if
the
you're
second
anybody
half of the
trying to
season.
sign him or thinking
Oh,
we
it's
need a kicker or we might bring him in or we'd love to have a kicker of that caliber or whatever the feeling is, you're going to talk to the league first. I mean,
Yeah.
there's not going to be any, he signed a deal with the Broncos. There's not going to be any of that until
Wouldn't think so.
they figure out what the crime is and what the punishment is, right?
Yeah, but because again, that's the part of Harbaugh's statement on Wednesday that you are these guys are thinking about it in terms of football. That's a big part of this. I'm not saying it should be the main part or the first part you're thinking
But if he's
about.
going to be suspended for 6 games, we need a new kicker anyway.
Exactly. And that's where you kind of look at this
This
thing
isn't a
and
running back where we have another one already, right?
right.
Literally.
I mean, is there an argument to be made that, well, you could carry a kicker on the practice squad? I mean, sure, in theory, but
Remember when they brought that guy in from San Francisco to do kickoffs? Billick did that with Stover.
yeah.
I'm
Oh,
trying to think of that guy's name. It was
I'm
in the early
trying.
aughts. I mean, it's maybe 03, 04, 05, somewhere in
And
there.
I'm trying to th didn't wait. Are you thinking of Wade Ritchie?
Wade Ritchie, thank you.
I
He
mean,
did
they've had, you know,
kickoffs,
they've,
right?
they had a couple guys, they had a couple guys that were kind of in that, because Stover for a number of years didn't do kickoffs. I mean, that's, they brought in Steve Hauschka to do that, and he eventually, they tried to use him to replace him.
Nick
So,
Folk,
yeah.
Shane Graham, Aaron Elling. I'm just doing, names of people that popped up. There aren't many. It's a small list, to your point.
Oh.
Graham Gano, I don't think ever kicked in a real
No,
game.
he was only a pre off season and
Yeah, he
preseason.
never
Yeah.
kicked in a game for them. So Wade Ritchie's the guy I'm thinking of, I'm
Yeah, I
sure.
think you're thinking about him, but yeah, I mean, it, even if the
2003 and 4, he was on the team. And yeah.
Ravens were determined to keep Justin Tucker, there was always going to be some process that involved the acknowledgement that He's probably not going to be kicking for at least part of your
He ain't
season,
kicking in
right?
Buffalo week one.
Yeah, I mean, but whatever the timeline is. So, and Harbaugh said we've got a competition going on. We like these young guys, and that's what my focus is going to
Dude,
be
they
moving
change
forward.
football players out there like socks every year, right? Like, this is just another, they got rid of everybody. He's just another guy. But I guess for the fans and for the Royal Farms chicken part and for the beloved Baltimore care, and I never felt that way about Justin Tucker, but apparently your mother did and your sister did and
Well,
other
let me.
women did and people loved him, so.
I don't think it's because he's a great player. I mean, he was one of the greatest kickers of all time. It's because he sang opera. It's because he was on Royal Farms commercials, right? I mean, I don't think it's that like the way you're framing that there. It's not that deep that my mom had a Justin Tucker jersey. It's just she thought that the kicker was really good.
He's been here 13 years, right? I
Probably thought
mean,
he was cute, like and I'm not speaking for that because it's not like we've had an in-depth conversation about it other than just like what happened, not so
well, I
much
was
like.
called by journalists a month ago and said, what made him so popular? What made him so?
Because he was
And I'm
here
like,
13 years. I mean, a lot of that's just longevity after a while. I mean, that's and
I
he
don't know
may
that
have.
Haloti Ngata was popular. He just made chicken commercials. I mean, he's the people were all fine. Like, I don't know that he was like the most popular Raven, certainly in that era.
I don't think
But
Justin Tucker
Tucker,
would.
I mean,
Well, part of
Tucker's on a
it.
team with Lamar Jackson and Ray Lewis and Terrell Suggs and Joe Flacco. I mean, there were plenty of other stars. I just never saw him as this. I saw him as a great kicker. I didn't see him as an essential citizen or a cornerstone guy in the franchise. He's a kicker. So I didn't look at it. I didn't look at him as like a Mount Rushmore guy in any way, the way I look at Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, even
No,
Shannon
I
Sharpe
don't
and
think
Rod
any.
Woodson for the small period of time. I just felt like he's a kicker. And now, today, he's just a kicker. They just need somebody else who's a kicker because
Right.
he's just a player to the Ravens at this point. And that's all he ever was, I think, out there. I think the fans maybe loved him more than the people in the organization did to some degree, but I'm
I don't
fascinated
know.
by all of it. I mean, I don't know that anybody could have predicted the end for this because I did think he was going to kick till he was 42, and I did think they would have a hard time cutting him. Like, if he didn't have these issues, that there was some affinity to holding him back because he's been able to do something as a kicker that no one in the history of the game has been able to do.
Well,
In the
and
history of the game.
you just answered your own question there as far as some of the reverence that maybe you couldn't see individually. I mean, that's the thing. It's very, very unique talent in that way. I mean, and keep in mind, I mean, it's hard to think about it now because it's over 15 years later. Matt Stover, as kickers go, was very, very popular in this town for a long time. It's the longevity factor. It's the fact that most teams go through kickers, like you just made the analogy as far as the roster, especially in the offseason. It's like you go through these guys like they're socks, and you throw out your socks that have holes in them
My
after a while
dear
or
late
whatever.
friend
But
John Feinstein wrote a book, Next Man Up,
yeah,
right? Like, that's it.
but when you have a kicker like Matt Stover who does it for as long as he did, and then basically 3 years later, Justin Tucker's in place,
Oh, and you
that's
miss a field goal to go to the Super Bowl
sure.
in
Well.
between.
Sure. So again, that part of it, I mean, you're a little more interested, I guess, in that part of it. I don't think it's that deep. I just think he was really, really good at his job. He had a quirky personality that until all this came out, some people found endearing in terms of, singing opera and things that you don't expect from an NFL
Dude, I
player,
stood in
right?
that locker room and I
So
watched him skip and sing out loud to no one other than me through the locker room. I saw that happen a half a dozen times. I mean, he's just a peculiar cat.
but again, I don't think it was anything that deep. Like I said, my mom had a Justin Tucker jersey just because, oh, he was their kicker for a long time and he was really good and, he sang opera and was quirky or whatever. It's not that deep. I mean, you talk to some fans. I mean, the number I could tell you long before I got into the media how many jerseys I had. I had a lot. Like I was definitely that guy for, in my teen years and early
I
20s.
only know
But
about your Haloti Ngata jersey, the
yeah,
one I have
so
now.
you know, so but. Anytime you have something like this, and this is where the comps are similar with Ray Rice. I mean, it's the same thing with Ray Rice. The end is so abrupt, and I don't mean the end from the time that you find out that there's some misbehavior or some misconduct until the time they release him. I just mean until they're just trucking along, mean, Ray Rice, he was at very much one of the faces of the franchise for them that met with corporate sponsors and
He was the face for
he was that
M&T
guy,
Bank on his
right?
face on a credit card.
Exactly. So when something like this happens, and I'm not making light of any of these things that happened, but there is a jarring nature to that for anyone who wasn't aware of it, for whether you're a fan or just an observer or a sponsor, whatever it can be. So from that standpoint, I mean, in the same way, I mean, Ray Rice had a bad 2013. Did anyone think that that was going to cost him his job alone? No. But then when what happened in Atlantic City happened, then you look through all that in a very different light. And more specifically for the organization, when TMZ drops a video the day after the season opener, then boy,
That the team knew about and tried to
that they knew about
hide,
it, no
that they
question,
tried to hide. Yeah.
no question. But it's still
They put
jarring
big
for
effort
everyone
into
else to
hiding
see
it, too.
that,
They put
right?
an
I mean, there's still,
organizational effort into hiding it.
but it's still jarring for everyone else to see that, right? I mean, it's still
The
so.
jarring part should be how sleazy the organizations are. That should really be the jarring part. That should be the lead story, but it's not. The lead story is, oh, Tyler Loop's going to be the kicker, and
I
we
mean, the
feel
lead
bad for
story,
Justin,
the
and
lead
yeah.
story should be the bad behavior that individual did. I mean, Justin Tucker, the Ravens weren't the ones accused of sexual misconduct by 16 different massage therapists. Justin Tucker was.
But
Now,
he was
what they
using the
knew,
power of the Ravens to do it. He
he's an
was.
individual who he has the license to do that, right? I mean, he deserves it first, then the Ravens. But I'll disagree with you on that point.
Well, the Ravens aren't going to pay any penalty for this.
Well,
They didn't really pay any penalty for Ray Rice, did they? Nobody lost their job except Ray Rice.
I
Kevin Byrne kept his
we've
job.
talked.
Chad
Can we
Steele's still
move
running his
on?
kingdom
I mean, can
and
we move on?
Yeah.
I was
Well,
out. No one's
that
no.
is the aftermath of it. The aftermath
Yeah,
of
I
it
mean, I
is
just, we've talked about this
everybody's
40
expendable there,
times.
right? I mean, everybody's expendable there. Yesterday was the day they had to answer questions about the kicker, and it's over for them, right? As we said, this will probably be the last time we talk about it, unless the NFL puts a suspension on them, and I guess we'll have to come back and talk about it. That's what the Ravens want, though, Luke. The Ravens want us to say that was an isolated thing that they had. They couldn't have known, they hadn't have known, and they cut him. And what more you want them to do? Next question. Let's talk football.
Can
And
I ask you? Can I
that's where it's
ask you
going to go.
a final question?
Sure.
What should they have done? Very, very directly, I'm asking you, what should they have done?
We'll cut him, right? Okay. I mean, know
When
whether he did it
though?
or not.
When though?
I think my question as a journalist is how much they knew over the last 10 years because of how many
That's
people
fair.
that have come up to me and said, and I also want to know about them taking their massage in-house 10 years ago. There's some complicity inside that building over the last 10 years to keep him as the kicker
But
that
would
is
you have
not
cut him the day
dissimilar,
that the
that is
banner
not
put out the
dissimilar
story?
than Ray Rice. If I'm somebody in the building that knew it was true and knew that the allegations were there and knew that I probably was a part of, like, hey, I heard about that. I know about that. I know one of those women. I know one. I know. I know. I know. I know. If everybody in the building was as dumb as I was, right? Because I mean, I guess I was the dumb one, and no one in the building really knew. But no one in that building has any integrity. That's why you were in the building yesterday and I wasn't in the building yesterday. So I do carry that cross. I was a media member for 24 years. So as facing straight, they are sleazy people. You've seen this in action. You've seen it personally in Florida last year, them running from questions, running from allegations, running from accountability. And that's Mark Andrews still yesterday. I didn't watch the presser yet. I don't care so much about what these people say, just the fact that they show up and say it, and then when they say it, it has some semblance of merit, credibility, accuracy, truth, right? Like that is my job as the media member that they don't want me to perform any longer. So I would say, who pits the fan? I'm sitting at Pizza John's, whatever that Thursday was, whatever that day was back in January. I would think if I own the team and I sort of sniffed out that this was a problem over the last 10 years and people knew about this, and we don't really like his kicking, which is what they're saying today anyway. He hadn't done anything since Buffalo. He hadn't kicked the ball for them since they lost, right? So if they were going to move on from him as a kicker and draft someone else anyway and do it the way they've done it, Man, they could have gotten rid of him in February, and that would have been like, hey, we're moving on. It's a football decision. He didn't kick great. I don't care about it. La la la, and all this
Okay.
allegations in the NFL. Let the NFL investigate this. We're out. We're out. We went through Ray Rice. We've had that creepy kid around here for 12 years. We sort of knew he was a little weird. We heard these allegations. I've heard enough. I've seen enough. Seven allegations. Credible newspaper. Hey, Chad, you might want to get on the phone with him and his douchebag agent and tell them not to be putting out Instagrams, putting hits out on the Baltimore Banner reporters who just won a Pulitzer. That's probably not the way that Justin should go about that on behalf of the Ravens as a Raven. So, if you want to drag me into it and get me angered on behalf of their sleaziness and the way that Chad Steele runs the place, the way Bisciotti allows it to be run, the way that Sashi Brown sanctions it to be run, and the way John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta are lacking accountability, quick to run from it, quick to move the football, and at this point, quick to move on, and you're quick to accept that. And that's okay. But I'm not because of Ray Rice. I'm not because I've seen what they've done to my press credential, and so have you. So I know what kind of people they are, and I don't think in any way that building didn't know about these rumors. I cannot believe that Eric DaCosta moves around the city and did not hear the rumor. Just took it to work for me, works for him, worked for him. So if you're asking what I think the Ravens should do, the minute one of my employees is accused of that kind of stuff on a Thursday, by Monday, I better have it sorted out in one way or another.
Fair
Justin,
enough.
get in here, sit down. We're gonna. I mean, if you were a school teacher and this went on, you would have been sitting with the principal, would have been sitting with the board quickly, with your lawyers quickly, not 3, 4 months out. We got plenty of time. It's the off season. Let's let it sit. Let's let the NFL investigate. It'll look better that way, because that way it looks like, our hands are short. I don't. This does not reflect well upon the Ravens. None of this does.
I never said it did. I'm just
And
saying
then running from it.
I'm not going to blame the Ravens before Justin Tucker. Justin Tucker deserves the most blame. Justin Tucker's the
A
one who
hundred
was
percent,
accused of this.
a
And
hundred
that was the
fifty
point I was
percent.
trying to make. So
But it's the power that the Ravens give him behind it that allowed this to occur.
I mean, I would just say power in general, of
Correct.
someone that's a public figure. I don't think that's specific to the Ravens, that notion. I think that's any public figure. Whether you're talking about a
He's a
professional
public
athlete, a
figure not because of the
politician,
chicken ads. He's a
whoever.
public figure because he plays in the
Because
National
he does
Football
something
League.
prominent and is well compensated to do it and is front
And he's not Bill
facing.
Cosby working for himself and Paramount and picture to picture. He's working for a legal NFL entity in a city, in a community that he allegedly represents, whatever you think he represents. Wholesomeness, white kickers from Texas, singing opera men, guys with pretty wives, guys who are the best kicker, whatever that thing that makes him what he is, it gave him the power to do some really awful stuff. And all the Ravens have the power to do that in lots of ways. I've seen it. Free meals, let me in the club, like whatever that status celebrity thing is. But it shouldn't be paired with being able to punch your wife in a glass elevator and still play football. It shouldn't be paired with being able to go around and lay on massage tables and what all the allegations. I'll just throw it all in. I know it makes you very uncomfortable, but yeah,
We've
I'm
all read it. I mean, we know
yeah,
what's in there.
I'm underwhelmed by John Harbaugh as a leader, and in general, I'm underwhelmed
I
by
know
Steve
you are.
Bisciotti as an owner. I'm really underwhelmed by Eric DaCosta as a an accountability guy, because I know him personally, because I've spent hundreds of hours with Eric DaCosta talking about things like character, decency, credibility, community, like all of that. We've talked about all of that. I don't think that matters to Chad Steele. He's just a hired gun who came in here and, works in Baltimore and works for the Shield and plays the military role. But all that being said, this isn't going to affect their tickets. And I knew that the day it happened, right? And it didn't matter whether they cut him February 10th or May 10th. They have the power as an organization. The Teflon you speak of, they're the most powerful, the most watched, all that. Justin Tucker's the beneficiary of that. When he's rolling some woman at the end of a massage, pulling out the power play. And any other guy and I know you've never had a massage, could expect to get their ass kicked instantly in a massage parlor with that happening and the cops waiting at the door when you put your clothes on and you walk out of the little room. Like, seriously, like, just wouldn't do it. And he did it allegedly 16 times, or actually more, because I've talked to the reporters. There were some women that came forward. So I'll tell you what happened, but I don't want to be a number. So it's disgusting. So if it's the last time we talk about it, and John can do the papa wave, and you as a reporter can say, "Hey man, I'm just done with it. I'm sick of it." Well, then if you're sick of it, and I'm sick of it, and we're sick of it, BAL will never talk about it because they are not allowed to talk. Kirk McEwen cannot have a conversation about Justin Tucker's massage habits. He wouldn't keep his gig. So that's the way this works. And then we can get the baseball, you know, how the baseball machine has worked here the last 10 days since they fired their manager. It's not just not what I grew up with, Luke, as a journalist, as we bury Jim Henneman today, right? Like, it's not just what I grew up with. It's just what was expected of sports franchises moving around a small city with Brooks and Boog and Frank and you know, like, and Johnny Yu and Art Donovan and Lenny Moore. Like, it doesn't make me old fashioned. I mean, dude, don't break the law. Don't be an asshole. You know, I mean, this isn't rocket science. A lot. Justin Tucker's made $70 million in this community kicking the football. Pointing the finger at the journalist 5 minutes after the story happened. I just, it just, it's as sleazy as it gets. It just is. And I'm a former journalist. I'm not a real journalist. I'm a comedian now. I'm working on my comedy this
You're a
summer.
journalist. Because you're not credentialed, that's not what makes you a
That's
journalist.
what makes me a journalist, I think. For the people who still think I'm a journalist, that's exactly what makes me one, is the fact that they don't want me out there asking questions about Justin Tucker and asking questions specifically about what they knew the last 12 years. Because that is the story to me. The story isn't whether he did it or did it. They got rid of him, the league's in, there's 16 women, he did it. Now, what they did about it and how they handled it, how did they handle it in 2018 and 19 and 20 and 21 and 22 and 23 and 24? They're just like, "Hey, yeah, it's just rumors. Why would I want to look into my employees', you know, issues?" They had that issue with a player who showed up drunk at my show who's no longer on the planet. I mean, their HR out there is weak. Eric DaCosta, weak. You know, the whole scenario with Ben Cleveland 3 months ago, weak. They drafted a kid who got thrown out of the University of Virginia on a zero tolerance policy. Their zero tolerance policy said, "Well, let's draft that kid. Let's open that can of worms." So this happened 4 weeks ago. So there's no, what did we learn here, Eric and John and Steve? What we learn is cover shit up until you don't have to, and then cut them and get the league in to investigate it, and all is good. Draft another kicker, and tell Luke and Jameson and Zrebeck and the rest of the reporters, "Hey, no more questions. He didn't even play here anymore. Can't answer any questions about that. Let's talk about
He
Tyler
was
Lue."
asked multiple questions about Justin
But
Tucker
he won't be
on
anymore.
Wednesday.
He won't be anymore. I mean, he won't be. You think? If Luke misses a kick, maybe in week two or
I mean,
something,
they're not gonna, no, they're not going to ask. I mean, what else do you
there's
want them
nothing left to ask.
in a
There's nothing left
podium
to ask
setting?
John Harbaugh or
A
Eric
podium
DaCosta
setting, what
other
else is
than,
there left to
did you
ask?
ever hear any whispers as an organization that any of there's anybody in your building on a Bible in front of your God, John, the God that you talk about all the time and pray to, and so in that setting, John, Fellowship of Christian Athletes setting, was there ever any whisper for you or anyone in the brass of this org, any of the women in the organization, any of the men in the organization, any of the people in the organization, was there ever a whisper that this was an issue? I've had dozens of people come up to me in the last 90, credible people.
I mean, how do you think they're going to answer that, whatever the answer is, though? You know what I
Oh.
mean? I mean, I'm just saying, like, you can ask the question. That doesn't mean you're going to get the
I
answer you're
remember Ray
satisfied with.
Rice, and I know how I've been treated personally. I'm in on this. I'm in on the soup. They're all in my phone. I know these people. No one in the audience does. I do. And I know how dishonest they are. That's all. And that's why I'm wearing a Curio purple jersey and not the Haloti Ngata jersey or the Joe Flacco jersey that I have in my closet at this point. Lucas here, but there, football side, let's jump the shark on this.
Oh.
They aren't playing for 4 months, so we might as well do this. Anything that sets out to you to be like the offensive line to me and the rotation of the secondary, what they're trying to do, and even Chuck Pagano is interesting to me being involved in this as a serious secondary guy for a long, long time, as to what that will look like in a perfect world in their mind. I mean, they've already lost one of their really key guys on the back end in Ardarius Washington. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. That's a significant thing for them. That's a piece. That's 50, 60 snaps a game.
Yeah, no question. And it puts more pressure on your first round pick. I mean, Malachi Starks, if you look at the composition of their roster right now, and at some point between now and week one at Buffalo, I expect them to add a veteran safety to the mix in the way that they signed Eddie Jackson. What was that, right before training camp last year? Didn't work out, but the intent was pretty clear when they signed him to be their third safety. But in the meantime, Malachi Starks, he's working with the starting defense. I mean, what else are you going to do? You're going to put Sanusi Kane there. You're going to put Bo Braid there. I mean, he's the guy next to Hamilton right now. So there was a little bit more of a runway and a safety net when he's the number three safety, and you have Ardarius Washington. That you one, he played very well last year, and two, you're in a spot where you can kind of pick your spots with Starks as far as okay, what does he do best? Where are we going to put him when we go three safeties? That drops Hamilton down to the nickel. Do we use Malachi Starks as the nickel sometimes? Though, are we going to use Washington? Right, it goes back to that
How could
positionless
Malachi Starks
defense.
be the kind of player that Kyle Hamilton is?
I mean, he's not as dynamic in terms of the fact that Kyle Hamilton's 6'4" and this physical freak.
Built more like a linebacker.
I mean, Malachi Starks is more okay. He's built more like a convention. He's 6'1", 203, which, by the way, is good size for a safety,
Malachi
but
Starks
it's
is a
not.
point guard. And
Kyle
Kyle
Hamilton's a power
Hamilton is a
forward.
small forward, small
Yeah,
forward.
I mean, maybe even a power forward. I mean, the way he plays, but yeah, so you're in a position where he has to develop more quickly. Now, the good thing about the timing of this, and by the way, Ardarius Washington has vowed to John Harbaugh he'll be back by November. If you look at the timing, could Ardarius Washington be back in the mix in some capacity come December? We saw Terrell Suggs tear his Achilles at a very similar time in the calendar, and he was back in October. Now, lots of people wondered at the time how in the world did he do that? But he was back in October. So it's not a guarantee that Ardarius Washington doesn't play in 2025, but you can't count on that. And he's certainly not going to be ready for the first half of the season. So, with the timing of this, you've got the entire spring schedule. You had the entire summer to work this out and to look at him and evaluate him and see what he does best at this point in his career, see what he might have a little more difficulty with. And yes, you can use that information to help drive whoever you're going to bring in. Now, they could bring in a safety later today, right? I mean, you could be getting the WNST text alert that they're bringing back someone like Chuck Clark, just to throw a name out as that someone's familiar with. I'm not saying it would be Clark himself, but in the meantime, he's the guy. So they've got to figure that out. It means they're probably looking at using more three corner nickel alignments. So that means more for Awuzie. That means more for Jalen Armour Davis. That means more for TJ Tampa in
I was
terms
going
of
to
who.
ask you about TJ Tampa. I was going to, because he's a name that, like, they've drafted other guys in the secondary that I think they want to be the next Brandon Stevens or they want to be the next Ardarius Washington. I don't know. This is the time of the year that happens, right? And if they go to the market and get a Chuck Clark, a veteran safety, a guy who's been in the league a little bit, and they've done this with all sorts of players. They did this with Chris Carr many years ago. Like, there's a lot of players that bang around as third or fourth safeties or depth pieces in the secondary. I'd love to, over the next 4 weeks, while they're getting together and throwing heads here, figuring out, like, do they have that guy already? Or do they need to go to market to get that guy? In many, many cases, and this is like the last decade, right? Maybe even a decade since Harbaugh's been here, really, they've not had the pass rushers they want. They've always had to go out and get a Van Noy, Clowney,
They could bring Clowney back. I mean,
a
that's a
veteran guy,
possibility at
right?
this point.
That's been a position, and the D line, even when they went and got Domata Pekka, and they bring in these Michael Pierce coming back and Brent Urban comes back and all of these piece guys that they bring in. The safety thing and the secondary, because there has been so much focus from you for years before
Long
Marlon
time.
Humphrey was drafted, but for you for years in the secondary, they have put draft capital into that position. It hasn't worked out like with TJ Tampa being hurt last year and stuff, but I always feel like they're going to market, they're going to market, they're going to market, they're going to go get a Chuck Clark. And you bring up all these names and they're just name salad, this time of year, but they're not on draft day when they get drafted. And you're thinking, well, they drafted that guy thinking they can get him on the field. This is the time of the year where that step gets made so that they don't go out June 15th and spend a month in the summer thinking, well, we got to get better there. We're going to be looking for cuts. We're going to be looking for other teams. We're going to have George Koukinis looking pro personnel off the edge of everybody's roster. We're going to have to watch all these god-awful preseason games and look at who's going to get cut and who can come in here and help us. If it's a weakness, I don't know that it's a weakness. I don't know that any of these, maybe the offensive line because of McCary, there's a real weakness to think like there's still a player out there they're going to sign. But I think the rest of the rosters, I look through it, they got a lot of draft picks in a lot of places, people that they identified and like in their system. This is the time they coach him up and say, next couple weeks, hey, that kid's coming back in July for camp. He's going to make the team. I mean, and then that's the feeling they try to give you this time of year, I think, as media, right?
Yeah, I mean, to your point about the roster, anything we're talking about are relative weaknesses. I mean, you can even go look at other contenders in this league and find definite weak spots. I mean, in the terms we talked about the offensive line a year ago compared to now, it's night and day, right? It really is, because Roger Rosengarten looks like he can at least be a solid to above average, if not better than that, kind of right tackle. Whereas a year ago, he was just our second round rookie, right? So you have that. You've had a year of Falele. Regardless of how anyone perceives him, he did it, right? He did it at a starting caliber level. Now, at times it looked average or below average, or you're kind of wondering, but he did it well enough to think, well, he did it, and they won the division, and they were a drop pass away in Buffalo from forcing overtime, right? So you look at those spots differently. At left guard, Andrew Voorhees is the favorite. Ben Cleveland will be in the mix. They have some other guys that'll be in the mix there. I mean, including their third round pick, Emory Jones, who is recovering from a shoulder issue now, but should be ready for training camp. But one spot on your O line, Nestor, I'd venture to guess, and I'm doing this off the top of my head right now, like I'm just throwing this out there, but I would feel that confident. Name me five teams in the league that have their starting five set on the O-line, no questions asked. Like, I'm not sure there are five teams that don't have at least one spot that would be some
A
kind of
battle, right?
competition, a question, someone you'd like to upgrade from. I mean, it's just, the 93 Cowboys don't exist anymore in terms of offensive lines being that amazing, where it's just like, hey, it's the same starting five. Three of them are in the Pro Bowl. The other two are above average. I mean, no one has an offensive line like
Well,
that.
the
So,
other thing
yeah.
with the offensive line with the Ravens, it's so unique. Not unique as much anymore because other quarterbacks run. There's other quarterbacks that play this style,
I mean, Lamar
but there is a different style of offensive line that
deodorizes,
you want.
yeah. Lamar deodorizes so much of that, right? I mean, even times when the offensive line surrenders pressure, Lamar gets away from it anyway, right? So you just look at it through that lens.
Or that would get Joe Flacco killed in Cleveland, right?
Sure, no question.
Right.
Joe Flacco or Tom Brady or guy Peyton Manning, guys that didn't really move around. So it's always different through that lens. So the roster is very good. Are there spots that they can improve? Yes, of course. And this is where I'll pivot back to, the defense, because you had brought up the defense. They are in a position right now where you're finding out about Malachi Starks in terms of how much he can handle right now. You want to find out about these young corners. Jalen Armour Davis, not so much. He's in the final year of his rookie deal, off injured. I think they've always liked his talent, but he just hasn't been able to stay on the field. But TJ Tampa's an interesting name. Not that they need him to play week one, because at this point, you look at their corners right now, Marlon Humphrey and Nate Wiggins are the starters. And then you've brought in Awuzie as your veteran number three. But Awuzie has an injury history, and you've got to acknowledge that. So that's where you look at TJ Tampa and say, okay, how are you looking? Right now, you're number four on our depth chart, in terms of our corners top to bottom. Do you look like a guy that is trending upward? Do you look like a guy who, if he needs to play in sub packages because we get a game day injury, can you handle that?
Well,
That's
he
not the
said
same.
injury history with Awuzie. Tampa had a history injury last year, right?
Oh, he did. Yeah, I mean,
What was his injury?
he had a sports hernia in the
Hernia,
off
okay.
season, and then what? He had an ankle, I guess it was, during the season. So, yeah, but he's got to develop. I mean, it doesn't mean that that's what is going to be him every year now, but a lot of that with young players. That's why David Ajabo, it's been such a disappointment with him. Not, I mean, the lack of production is one thing, but the injuries that he had his first couple years, it's not just that he didn't play in those games. He didn't practice, right? He didn't get that time on task. I mean, to become good at anything, you need time on task to practice. What, 10,000 hours or whatever, the mindset is. And when you have young guys that miss that much time, it's not just, oh, well, they only played in three games. It's also they only practiced X number of times over the course of their rookie year. So someone like Tampa is a perfect example of they drafted him in the fourth round. They clearly liked him. When you're drafting a guy in the fourth round, you don't have designs that he's definitely going to become a starter, but you're thinking he has some starter potential a couple years down the road. But he's got to develop. He's got to develop, and he'll contribute on special teams in the meantime, and you have to see where he is. So, yeah, this time of year when you're talking late May and June, and then the first couple of weeks of training camp, they want to see if TJ Tampa can be a number four corner. And if he can, then great. If not, then we might be talking about them adding another corner at some point in time, right? Just knowing what you have and knowing Awuzie has an injury history as well. So, but this time of year, you're figuring that all out. We know the roster is definitely fluid this time of year. We understand that because of some of the edge rushers that you just stated, which, like I mentioned in passing, Jadeveon Clowney could be back with the Ravens at some point in time. I mean, if he's probably not going to sign until training camp. That's generally been how he's handled things. So there's still that. But in the meantime, you're evaluating all these young guys. And even though OTAs, I'm the first one to make fun of it at this point in time in terms of, I don't care what stats are during OTAs. I don't, observations are nice, but they don't really mean anything. I could tell you guys that were great this time of year, guys that were bad this time of year, and then it didn't mean anything come the regular season. But you're still evaluating. You're still looking, and you want to see flashes. You want to see TJ Tampa look like, oh, you can line him up on the outside. And, if Nate Wiggins or Marlon Humphrey goes down, then this guy can probably fill in at least for that week and do an okay job for you. So, you want to start getting an idea of that. And, for these young guys, it's just getting on the field and kind of seeing what it looks like. And now with OTAs having started and having the veterans out there, you can kind of see what they look like against other veteran players. I always laugh, rookie camp. And seeing what that looks like the weekend after the draft compared to even now starting to see OTAs. I mean, it's night and day. Rookie camp, Malachi Starks moved differently than everyone else. Mike Green moved differently than everyone else. Because you have a bunch of guys on that field that are tryout guys that are never going to step foot on an NFL practice field again. And you have other guys that are going to be, that are rookie free agents that are going to go through this the next few months, and then they're going to be gone and they're going to be playing in the UFL or Canada. Later on this fall. But you get to this point in the year where you do have the vets out there, and even if they're not going full speed, you can start to evaluate a little more. So, I think this roster, this is, you'll hear John Harbaugh or Eric DaCosta say right now, you're not playing any games right now, but if we had to line up and play a game on Sunday, we could. I think this team absolutely is in that position right now, but that doesn't mean they can't make
Better
some
than the
improvements. Yeah, exactly. I mean,
Steelers right
and you know what? I'm glad you, because th that's
Better than the
I,
Browns, where I see Joe Flacco talking about mentoring five quarterbacks in a
yeah.
room.
I mean, man, we used to joke if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. I mean, what do you say about the Browns when you have five quarterbacks, you have none? But I just the Ravens. That's why I don't bristle. That's not the right term. But I. Earlier this week, I did a radio hit, a guy in Jacksonville, Ryan Green. I'm his Ravens guy. He was doing an AFC North preview, and I get asked this question a lot. What's it going to take for the Ravens to get over the hump in January? It's not a specific roster spot or a specific position or it's not what their attendance is at OTAs or mandatory mini camp. It's whatever they've been in the same spot over and over and over, whether it's the divisional round or the AFC Championship game, specifically the last 2 years. There's no silver bullet. It's just how do you slow the heartbeat down enough in those moments that your guys aren't making critical mistakes? This year it was Andrews. 2 years ago, Lamar had multiple turnovers, right? Zay Flowers had the fumble across the goal line against Kansas City. How do you stop those things from happening? There's no simple answer for that. That's a sports psychology question there, if anything, right? And I'm not saying that they need sports shrinks in Owings Mills, but I just kind of laugh when I hear people, DeAndre Hopkins was a great example. Like DeAndre Hopkins is a perfectly fine signing. I like that signing at $5 million. I thought it was a good value. But am I going to point to that and say, oh, that's the missing link for them to win in January? No, I don't think I don't that would imply that they weren't good enough the last few years. They've been good enough on paper to win maybe three Super Bowls at this point in this era on paper, but you don't win games on paper. You've got to do it in the fourth quarter in Buffalo. You've got to do it against Kansas City in the second half. And that's where they've come up short. So the roster's fantastic overall, relative to other teams. Safety, corner, edge rusher, left guard. These are positions of interest that they've got to sort through their depth and everything. But, they could go out there and play right now, and you'd have them favored against all but a couple teams in the entire league. And, but that's the same space they've been in for a long time. It's all about January. And, those answers we're not going to find as they're running around in shorts in late May and early June.
All right, our next conversation about the National Football League and the Ravens will be at least in the month of June. We're almost getting there. They do have new kickers. They have new safeties. They have all sorts of things going on. Luke will be chronicling that because it'll be a lot more interesting than the baseball team has been. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive on a spring sort of weekend. Come on, sunshine.